Welcome back to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing podcast, everybody. I'm Robin Dipovic.
And I'm Lauren Cortizo.
For those of you who are watching at home, we're showing up a little differently on the screen this week. We are recording each in our own houses as opposed to in our studio, which is actually a studio that we built in my basement, fun fact. So yeah, we're testing this out.
One of the main reasons why we want to test this is because we've been talking a lot about having guests on the podcast, and this will allow us to be able to bring in guests really easily. So we're doing a long distance thing this week, and then we'll have some fun friends join the pod in the next couple of weeks, which will be great.
FOTP is friends of the pod.
Yes, yes,
friends
exactly.
Of the pods. Neither one of us are strangers to a long distance relationship, though.
This is true. This is true. When Gabe and I first started dating, we did distance for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabe Harry was touring.
Okay. Cool sentence. When Gabe was touring.
Yeah.
Mine was 2 years, but Harrison was not touring. But it was between New York and LA, which are two really fun places to go between.
How often did y'all see each other?
Honestly, it wasn't bad at all. It was every like three-ish weeks max. So like when we say long distance, it was like sometimes it'd be 10 days. Sometimes it would be 2 weeks. Longest we ever went was 6 weeks, and that was a bit too long, in my humble opinion, but we both travel so much and we're so mobile between New York and LA, and then also would find like fun places to go in between. So we had like fun trips in Colorado or in Austin, Texas, yeehaw, and like things like that. So like I was pretty spoiled when it came to long distance. It's not like I was dating someone in like Cape Town, South Africa that I saw once every 6 months.
Right, totally. The 6 hour flight, it's not long. I mean, it's not short, but it's not terribly long. So it's doable.
I got to the point though, when we were doing it, where I was like, oh, this isn't bad at all. This is like so easy. And then now when I've started doing it again for work, because I have to go there for shoots a lot, and just in general, it is my favorite city. I've mentioned that before. I'm like, shit, how did I do this so often? This is a long ass flight.
Love. That's how you did it so often.
Honestly,
that
really
helps.
Really great move.
It really, really helped.
So how are you doing?
I'm okay.
I was wondering if you were going to be honest when I asked you this question.
Okay. I had a pretty gnarly week. Work's been crazy, but then also I got some sort of food poisoning situation on Thursday.
Uh-uh.
And so that had me up, and I've just been like recovering from that. That feeling of like still kind of nauseous, want to eat because I'm hungry, but don't want to eat because I'm nauseous sort of thing. But then also just like feeling the lack of a good night's sleep.
Yes.
So that's my honest of where we're at.
Okay, so I have two things to say about that. One, I'm so sorry because food poisoning is the absolute fucking worst. I got it once when Lauren and I were supposed to record like 3 months ago, and it was from one of my favorite oyster restaurants, which I will not mention by name on this podcast because I would never want to defame them on the internet because I still love them. But it was one of those things where
that's kind of you.
Exactly.
It's very kind of you. Yeah.
And if you DM me asking, I won't tell you because I still ride for them. I was there last
week. And this is the one situation where you should be gatekeeping.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Out of respect for my favorite oyster establishment in LA, I'm not talking about where it was that I got this because it can happen at times. A bad oyster can pop up where you least expect it. But remember, I texted you at like 4 a.m. that night and I was like,
yeah,
I haven't gone to sleep and I'm on the floor of my bathroom, so I'm not going to be able to do a podcast recording. So you're stronger than me. Look at you. You're here. You look beautiful.
Wow. Thank you. I don't know if I'm stronger than you. I think I don't know when else we would record.
Yep. Very true. And listen, that's on being a woman. That's on being a woman because like we push through. I was on a FaceTime with one of my very best friends. Shout out Claire, who also said when I log on the FaceTime with her, she holds up The Heart's Invisible Furies, which is the book that I talked about last episode. We get on FaceTime and she like holds the book up. She was like, I was listening to the pod, so look what I'm going to start today. And I said, that's a number one fan right there.
Go Claire. Shout out Claire.
Shout out Claire indeed. But I forget where I was going with that. Anyway, it's been a tough week for you, but you're here. You look great.
We're here. Yes. Thank you. How are you doing?
I've had a tough week too. Listen, it's been a roller coaster week for both of us for different reasons. Much to the point we were on the phone earlier today as we were like, okay, you ready to record? I'm getting set up here, blah, 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 blah. By the way, there's a lot that goes into this and it's a lot of work. So thank you to anyone who is listening. This is like a second mini full-time job for us. And I was like, it's tough when you're having such a hard week. I personally, I've been traveling unexpectedly. One of my best friend's dad died last week. So I went home for the funeral. I'm from Wisconsin, for those of you who don't know it. So that was very tough, obviously, to see someone that you love so much in so much pain. But I'm very glad that I went. But I was like, damn, this week is hard. So you and I both looked at the planets and we were like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Something's in retrograde.
Like, yeah, I literally like on Wednesday just opened my browser and I said, what's happening with the stars?
The amount of times I've Googled that is like, it would be scary for someone who doesn't believe in that shit.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, something has to be happening.
Always.
To explain what's going on
down here. Well, that's also how I feel like when I'm in luteal or when I'm not in luteal phase and I act like a fucking fool or something crazy. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure I'm on day like 29 of my cycle. It's just my hormones. And then I look and I'm like, oh shit, I'm ovulating. I'm supposed to be like the best version of myself right now. And I'm not. So that was just
right.
Me. That was just me. That wasn't anything other than the fact that that was just me.
And that's just is what it is sometimes, you know?
Yes.
So real.
What's going on with you other than having a tough week? What are you consuming in pop culture? And also, what phase of your cycle are you in?
What am I consuming in pop culture? Okay. We do this thing with Carmen. Carmen is about to be 1 year old. And
are you serious?
Yeah, crazy. Whoa. She's going to be 1 in 18 days.
That's wild.
I know, the year is like flown by.
Oh my God, time flies when your friend has a baby. Okay, continue.
Right? Flown by. So we allow screen time in only two forms. One of which is if we're watching a Disney movie.
And the other is if you're showing her In Phase podcast on YouTube.
That's, you're right. There's three things we do. One of which is Disney movies. The second thing is watching In Phase. The third thing is we watch like concerts on YouTube. A lot of like Tiny Desk concerts or just like other live performances.
She's
That's like what we allow.
She's gonna be the coolest kid in the world. Keep going.
I mean, I just like music is good for the body. It's good for the brain to just expand your ear when she's young. We're like, this is a version of screen time that I feel very comfortable with. Is her watching a Tiny Desk concert. So anyway, if we put on a Tiny Desk concert, usually it evolves into another live performance. YouTube just like does its thing. This week, twice I've watched, there's this guy, do you know who Jacob Collier is?
No.
Musician? He's like this like savant musician. I bet Harry would actually know who he is. He's like this like guy from London. He's like in his 20s. He's like big spiky hair and he can play every instrument. He writes original music that's like incredibly genre bending. It's like you have like jazz and classical in there, and it's just like his music is almost so, it's like so intense and so layered that listening to it isn't really like relaxing because the whole time your brain is like, how is this happening? Where is this coming? What is going on? Anyway, there's a video of him working with the San Francisco Orchestra, and he like on the fly is like orchestrating this full orchestra. And so it was like, brass, you over here play, you play an F, tuba, you play a C, and go up an octave, go down. And then he does this with the full orchestra and then has them and is directing them, having them all play together as he's playing the piano and singing. And it's just like one of the craziest things to witness.
Damn.
And that's something that really has brought me a lot of joy this week is watching this, like, to me, it's what's watching anyone, especially there's something about watching someone in the arts do a thing that they're so like passionate about and you feel like they've been designed to do. It just like is something that makes me feel so like full and excited and like lucky to be alive. And he's one of those people who I'm like, ooh, the fact that we're alive at the same time as this guy.
Wow. So here's what I'll say about that, Lauren, is that you and I are cut from very different cloths because what I've been consuming is the Summer House Scandal.
I've heard about that one.
Wes and Amanda getting together behind Sierra Miller's back. So I wish I was more like you, but alas, I am who I am.
And that is what you're doing too.
and what I'm over here doing is combing TikTok for any theories or breadcrumbs of the past 10 years of which we have been duped about who this woman is, because obviously Team Sierra. And you don't date your friend's ex-boyfriend behind their back. That is rule number one in life and the Bible and everything that anyone has ever read.
This is true. Do you feel like you've uncovered anything that's new or anything that like is surprising to you?
No, I haven't uncovered anything that all the TikTok warriors and like Inspector Gadgets have come across themselves, but I'm really enjoying the fact that, like, when a scandal like this happens and it's so morally corrupt on one side and there's so clearly like a right and a wrong, that like I think we come together as a collective and culture, and I really like that. So I feel like with everything else going on in the world, we at least have this that we can all agree on. Also, the astronauts in space this week.
Oh, yeah.
The astronauts who named the bright spot on the moon. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. After Carol, who is the astronaut's wife who had died, and they apparently did it without telling him. So when they announced it, what we see in that video, if you guys haven't seen this, please go watch it. We need a bright spot in life right now with everything going on in culture, not culture, politics in the world and Donald Trump. Oh my God, it was so moving. It's like these four or five, I can't remember how many, like sitting there, like holding this man as they're telling Earth down below that like that bright spot that you see there, that its name is Carol, after his wife who had passed, and like they're crying and then I'm crying and then everyone's crying. Oh my God, it was so beautiful.
I need to watch this video.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No.
I feel like it was really making the rounds on like Instagram and TikTok and whatnot, and I was just like, it's one of those things where I'm like weeping in bed.
Oh my gosh, love that. Okay, yeah. So we have the moon, we have Summer House, and we have Jacob Collier.
Yes.
Bringing some bright spots.
Yep, I think that's a trifecta right there.
Indeed.
All right, so we'll keep our kiki short this week for those of you who don't like to listen to us gab, but if you don't, that hurts my soul because
yeah,
I feel like it's fun. But we do want to talk about something this week that I think is going to be a fun episode. Well, maybe not fun. They're always fun. We try to keep this fun, but something utilitarian in terms of cycle syncing, and that is supplementing your cycle and how to incorporate taking different supplements throughout different phases of your cycle in the month to help with cramping, to help with brain fog, to optimize during your luteal phase, and to kind of help regulate, one, the nutrients that you're getting, but two, the hormonal fluctuations that depend on those nutrients to optimize and to do their best work for your body.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into this because I also feel like supplements are becoming and continue to be just very trendy. Like, I feel like every health podcast is talking about them. I'm always being served all these different brands that are popping up, these new brands that are...
I fall for all of it.
I mean, it's hard not to, because it's basically telling your life is going to be better if you take a small pill every single day.
Totally.
So it's like a really
good to me.
Right. So I'm excited to dive into this too, because I do think it's something that we're sort of seeing a lot. But why don't we start by even defining what a supplement is? Because a supplement can be defined by a lot of different things. It's either vitamins, minerals, herbs, adaptogens, or amino acids. It's these nutrients that are designed to fill gaps or support systems in the body. One of the key things is that it's always most important to try to get your nutrients from your actual food. That's the best way to make sure we're supporting our body. But what's great about supplements is that most people are not getting the nutrients that they need from their daily diet. That's what's so great about supplements. It allows us to fill the gap when it comes to our nutritional needs.
100%. Like, we need to look at them as supportive and supplementary, pun intended, tools. They're not replacements for food. However, when we're talking about the fact that you should get the majority of your nutrients and vitamins and amino acids from food, we cannot ignore the fact that the soil depletion of modern day food and farming is so different than it was hundreds of years ago because of the use of pesticides and herbicides, and just the way that farming has evolved and the production of food at mass has evolved. The soil doesn't contain the same nutrients that it once did, where cave people and people in the 1800s, early 1900s, they were getting all of their nutrients from their food where it existed. So supplements now are meant to fill the gap that even food isn't giving you anymore.
If you think about like the traditional American diet, like a lot of people aren't even eating food that's growing from the earth.
Yes. So if you're opening a bag of something and that's where you're getting your food, we don't even have to worry about soil, but you're probably not getting a lot of nutrients from that either.
But just like plus one, it's like even if you are getting your food from the earth, you're not getting enough of the nutrients. And then for a lot of people who aren't getting it from the earth.
Yeah.
What are we expecting?
You know, exactly.
It's kind of wild.
And then plus the fact that in terms of like, why do we need supplements? Why is it such a hot topic of conversation? Like, the levels of stress and cortisol disruption in today's culture when it comes to like how focused we are on capitalism and work and burnout and doing it all and be all things, we as a society, and especially as a society of women, are so much more stressed and so much more anxious and sleep less and drink more and are just not getting the same level of care for our bodies and nervous system regulation that we've had in the past. So like that stress and cortisol disruption also can be really, really helped with supplements too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think tied to that too, it's the trend of wanting to just take care of ourselves more, right?
Like, which is a trend I love so much. So if like, call me a basic bitch for falling for the supplement routine, for getting the red light mask, for getting the lymphatic vibration plate, and for like the toe spreaders and the electrolytes. Like I fall for this shit because I want to take care of my sweet little body.
No, there you go. Exactly. It's the idea of like, let's pay attention to our health. Let's pay attention to what we're putting in our bodies.
Yep.
And so when we're paying attention to that and seeing a gap from a nutrition perspective, supplements will be trending as well. So it all kind of makes sense as to why it's very top of mind for people.
Trend up. Oh, and one other thing I wanted to mention too is supplements can be really helpful when you are coming off birth control as well, because research has linked oral contraceptive use with a lower status of folate, of vitamin B6 and B12. And sometimes the minerals that you find in some of the most popular supplements that are good, like staples to have throughout, like magnesium and zinc, we'll talk about this, they are evidence of like supporting that come down from going off birth control.
Yeah, that's a great
flag. It's not called a come down, but that's just what I'm using right here, colloquially.
Yeah. Hey, it works. It works. When did you first start taking supplements? Like, how were you first introduced to supplements?
I'm trying to think. You know what? Speaking of Claire, my friend that I mentioned earlier, I remember I was on a yoga retreat with her like 10, not 10. It had to have been like 6 or 7 years ago. And she has always been like very ahead of the game in terms of health. She's very much so like a spiritual, crunchy yoga girl who's so healthy. And I always envied that about her, but I was like, couldn't be me. I'm out here having like vodka sodas for dinner. But she showed up to this yoga retreat. She had a bag of pills, like a gallon-sized bag of pills. And I'm watching her pop these every morning. I'm like, this has to be overkill. That's crazy. Cut to a year later was when I started taking them and was taking just as many as she was. And I remember I texted her. I was like, I've gotten on your train. That was the first time I saw someone else doing it, but I was recommended to do it, I believe, from my acupuncturist that I started seeing to help with my period. Because I didn't start taking supplements independent of working on my cycle before. So it would have been like 5 years or so ago. And when I first started seeing my acupuncturist, and she was recommending one, a lot of herbs to take at that time, like traditional Chinese herbs, but in addition, supplements.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What about you? Yeah, I feel like I started taking more when I was balancing my cycle, but most specifically when I got diagnosed with PCOS, that's when I was taking like 11 a day. But prior to that, I feel like I've been taking supplements when I'm sick or about to get sick for a long time. Like I've always had zinc, vitamin C, and vitamin D3 in the cupboard as a staple for like the last like decade plus.
You know what? Me too, though. My parents, when younger, if I was like, I have a sore throat, they'd be like, take 6 echinacea and vitamin C.
No, totally. Yeah. So it's always been like, if I'm on the verge of feeling sick or if I'm about to go on a flight, I always have those ready. So it's always been, I would say, mostly like utility in regards to I'm not feeling well.
Yeah.
And then I started taking them more consistently. Yeah. Mostly when it came to PCOS for me. I feel like I would sometimes go in phases of being like, okay, like lion's mane is great for me and L-theanine is great. Yeah, I did ashwagandha for a bit. L-theanine is great. But I feel like what was challenging about my experience with those is usually when I was taking those, I was doing other things in my lifestyle. So it was hard to attribute like, okay, I'm feeling better because of X. But I feel like specifically when it came to helping with the hormone regulation of my PCOS, there was like direct correlation of me taking my supplements.
I love that.
Which was awesome. So that's when I really started to like jump on board.
Here's what I will say, and I'm saying this for you, for the pod, for the friends of the pod, sisters of the pod. I have fallen off my supplement game, so I'm really excited to like dive back in with this episode and re-educate myself and then get back on the train. So I'm asking you all to hold me accountable, because I think this can be my foray to getting back into it, because consistency with me was always a huge problem too, where I would jump into like, all right, I'm taking 5 a day now, I'm going to feel great. And I would do it for 3 weeks, but then fall off of it. And even when I'm starting so many things like that, I can't attribute it to one specific pill or one specific supplement or acid or nutrients to tell me that that specific thing worked. So I'm going to really try after this episode, today, starting today, to get back on this. So I'm excited.
I love that. And it's also okay to drop on and drop off. Like, I once had an acupuncturist when I first started breastfeeding. I was getting really nauseous when I was breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And she was like, are you taking a lot of supplements? And I was like, yeah, I take a ton for my PCOS. And she was like, I would try maybe not taking supplements to see if that helps with your nausea. And she had this funny, it was so funny. I asked, I was like, which one should I not take? She was like, hold them in your hand and see how they make you physically feel. Which is like, so badass.
Shit, I love that shit. What is it so called? Badass. The body response?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
It's, I had an energy healer. By the way, I'm getting an energy healing facial later today. So you're going to see me as a brand new bitch next week, both internally and externally. I'll report back.
But incredible.
I once saw an energy healer who would ask me a question and hold her hand and push on my hand and see how much my body responded to that. But it was questions. Yeah. It was like, you'll love this. It was like, I had gone there after like a really terrible breakup. And I was like, I just need to get healed. And she asked me how I felt about men. And then afterwards, she was like, you really hate men. I was like, yeah, bitch, why do you think that I'm here? Are you kidding me?
I could have told you that.
I could have told you that with my mouth, not with my hand. I don't feel healed from you. I'm not going back. No stars on your mouth.
This was a scam.
What the hell? Yeah. And this guy is blue. Okay. Right, it remains true to this day.
But no, totally. But yeah, I remember thinking, like, she said that and I was like, cool. And for a while I stopped taking certain supplements and I felt better having not taken them. It comes and goes. And back to what we talked about earlier, if you're getting your nutrients from your food and from other places, it's okay to not be taking our supplements consistently too, because you could be getting it from other places. So mostly just saying it as a reminder, just have grace for yourself when falling off of it, because
always have grace. Always, as you guys know, if you've listened to one episode on this, the amount of times we talk about how much grace we need to give our little selves and our little bodies, run with it.
Yep. Amen.
I will also say too, as an aside about like taking so many supplements a day, don't ever take your supplements on an empty stomach. Ooh. Ever.
It's the worst thing in the world.
I don't vomit. Fun fact about me, you guys, I have puked 5 times in my life, in my whole life. And, well, no, besides getting food poisoning, but other than that, 5 times. And one of those times was from taking supplements on an empty stomach.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had many, many moments of that happening.
You're just like,
me.
Oh, I made a mistake. I made a grave error.
It's terrible.
Okay.
But it's terrible.
So but obviously this is a cycle syncing podcast and we're talking about supplements in relation to your cycle. So how do supplements connect to your hormones? Hormones require these nutrients that supplements provide, obviously, to one, be produced, to ovulate, to produce progesterone, to produce estrogen, and then also to be detoxed. So we talk a lot about in the last episode about estrogen detox that happens via the liver, and you need ample supplements and these nutrients in your body for it to work the way it is supposed to work.
Yep, exactly. So why don't we actually dive in phase by phase and we can talk about what's happening in your body during each phase and then which supplements are best to help support your body during that time.
Let's do it. Let's start with menstrual because she's a star of the show, obviously.
She is the
always.
Star of the show.
She is the star All right. of the show. By the way, I'm in my luteal phase right now. What are you?
I'm in luteal.
I love it when we link up. What day of your cycle are you on?
I actually don't know. I think I'm like 26 or 25.
Same.
Is that where you are?
Hello.
Yay. Oh my gosh. In sync. I love that.
Okay, so menstrual phase, which we will approach in the next week or so. By the way, it super sucks. I'm going to Cabo next weekend, and I'm going to be, when I'm in my swimsuit, in a bikini, nonetheless, I'm going to be on like day like 29 to 33 of my cycle, which is, as we know, we give our bodies grace here, but when your body gains like 4 to 6 pounds of water weight, you feel your worst, you look a little bigger, so I'm going to be exercising the most mental acuity in trying to give myself grace.
I was going to say rock it. You can rock it.
I know.
But I know it.
It'd be like belly out, let's go. But it's a bummer nonetheless. You know what I mean? Like we're like, all right, I'm going to get a spray tan. And I'm going to be like, can you put abs on me, please? For the love of God, because I'm going to need them. Okay, sorry. I'm getting so distracted today, which always happens. But menstrual phase. So how are we supplementing phase by phase? Obviously, you guys, I hope you know this, but the menstrual phase is day 1 through 5 to 7. It's when you're bleeding. The theme here that we want to focus on with supplements is restoring and replenishing. So what's happening in the body at this time? Hormones are at their lowest. We talk about this every single week. This is when you feel the least amount of energy, when you should be resting. This is winter time for your body. And you have both blood and mineral loss at this time.
Yeah, exactly. So your body's going through a lot. And as Robin said, it's like, it's time to rest. It's time to restore. But then because your hormones are at their lowest and because you've literally lost a lot of blood, there are specific supplements that help with supporting that. One of the big ones that we probably heard about is iron. So iron specifically helps with replenishing blood loss if needed. I, for a while, was taking iron actually in my luteal phase right before my menstrual phase because it was prepping me for that blood loss. And that really helped when it came to energy. But in general, iron is really great for that time when your body is bleeding to help replenish.
Another favorite of mine, one across the board, but two for menstruation, is magnesium glycinate. I would recommend everyone be on this all the time, to be honest. I think it's a great foray into supplementation that is helpful across the board, not just for menstruation. The glycinate part of this is important. It's magnesium glycinate that you would want to take before bed. I say it's important because there's over 10 different kinds of magnesium, all working to do different things in the body. But magnesium glycinate helps specifically with sleep quality, with regulation. I'm a regular girly when I'm taking this. So then it also helps with cramps and relaxation too.
Speaking of cramps, another supplement that can be helpful during menstruation is omega-3s. So omega-3s can be really helpful specifically because of inflammation. So our bodies have to go through inflammation when we're menstruating because it helps when it comes to shedding the uterine lining, that it can lead to things like cramps, like you just mentioned too. So omega-3s are a great thing to help when it comes to any increased cramping or any pain from cramps. This can help when it comes to keeping that a little bit under control, which is nice.
Under control. And then another one during menstruation, vitamin C is really great. As Lauren and I talked about, it's great when you're sick. My dad handed me like six of these every time I said that I was getting a cold. I don't know if that was the right way to go about it, but thank you, Dad. But vitamin C is really good for iron absorption, which again, we're losing iron at this time. So if you're taking this in conjunction with iron, it's kind of a great 1-2 punch. And then it also obviously helps with immune support. We feel our lowest and our worst when we're menstruating. There's also something called the period flu, which is when women feel like fully flu-like during their period, like a little bit body aches and things like that. So like supplement your immune system at the same time too. And
then always, that's a great call.
As we talk about lifestyle pairing with this as well, cycle syncing is more than just one thing. It's more than supplementing. So as a reminder, like this is the time for you to slow down, eat warm foods, hydrate and rest.
Yeah, absolutely. And then after menstruation is follicular phase, springtime. The energy is coming back. We're coming out of winter. The sun is shining. The flowers are blooming. We're ready to go into the world, which is very exciting. So at this point in our body, our estrogen is rising, which leads to more brain clarity. It leads to more energy. And so there's a handful of supplements that can help with this phase as well.
Do you have that, by the way, that the clarity for me is so specific?
Gosh.
Like when I wake up on like day 8 and my period is over, I'm like,
It feels like I've like been like shot with like B12 or something.
Yes.
It's like, it does feel completely different in
a
wonderful way.
A whole new person. I love follicular phase. Love it. So So what can we support here? B complex vitamins. Again, as Laura just mentioned, it feels like you're shot with B12. B complex vitamins in general are just really good for energy and vitality and also hormonal production.
Yeah. Yep. And then in addition to that too, probiotics are great. They can help when it comes to gut and estrogen metabolism. So again, at this point, your estrogen is rising. And so your body is trying to figure out how to use it. And specifically, probiotics are helpful when it comes to that process.
We talked about probiotics on the last episode too. So if that seems like a scary word, one, there's pill format of probiotics. Like I take seed, for instance. There's also natural ways to infuse probiotics into your diet. We talked kimchi, we talked sauerkraut, we talked kefir, we talked yogurt. There are simple ways to do this outside of just like pill form of supplements as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And L-glutamine, this is a good one for the follicular phase. This helps with gut lining and it reduces sugar cravings, which is nice.
That is helpful. And then lastly, any sort of like powders that have your daily greens or chlorophyll can be really helpful. They're helpful when it comes to detoxing your body as well as vitality. I love the brand Amazing Grass. I use those greens almost every day in my smoothies. They're awesome. And then also when it comes to chlorophyll, you can just do drops and like put them in your water and you can barely taste them. But that's a fun way to get your chlorophyll as well.
It's so funny going through all of these. I have every single one of these in my supplement cabinet right now that I have like gone in phases of using. And it's reminding me, it's like, I need to get back on my chlorophyll game too. And my, I have L-glutamine in there. I've got so many vitamin, like B vitamin complexes, like B6, B12, all of these things. And I'm like, damn, use those things. So again, right. I'm getting back into this.
We're just doing this to inspire ourselves to get back in the game. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of work and a lot of prep work, but to just do this for us. But here we are. Okay, after follicular, you guys know what's coming. It's sexy summertime. It is ovulation. We love it. We love ovulating. Oh, by the way, I had an appointment. I had my Botox appointment a couple weeks ago with my girl Courtney, who is a friend of the pod. She was at our launch dinner.
She's a friend of the pod.
We love Courtney. She consistently sends me little selfies in her in-phase period hat, which we love.
Amazing.
But I walk in to the appointment and she goes, "You look great. Are you ovulating?" And I was like, "Oh my God, I love that question." And I was.
Amazing. Amazing.
She was like, I'm so listening. Good. And a few weeks prior to that, we were getting dinner and she had listened to the first episode about how I consistently like plan all of my dinners during my follicular phase, but then they fall in my luteal phase. And I hate that. I'm just like, what have I done to myself? So we made a dinner plan and she goes, okay, but what phase are you going to be in when this dinner comes around?
And that's friendship.
That's friendship. That's
accountability.
And that's how we should all be operating. I was like, I love you so much. So anyway, the fact that I walked in and she was like, are you ovulating? You look great. Because when you're ovulating, you are glowing from the inside out. It's when you like feel more vivacious and vital and just like kind of look your best, feel your best. If you feel magnetic at a certain time of the month, this is that. So that's because your estrogen is peaking at this time. Love that. Thank you, estrogen. So like you feel like more confident and more communicative at this time too.
Love that. And so there's some supplements that help with that specifically too. So zinc. I love zinc.
I know you're a zinc girly till you die. You've been telling me about zinc for years.
Yeah, well, zinc is also one that just helps also when it comes to, like, if you're feeling sick, I feel like zinc, I always feel better when I take zinc. But it's also so great specifically around the ovulation phase because it helps support ovulation. And then, like we just talked about, it helps support your immune system. So I'm a huge, huge fan. Also, like, specifically for people who have PCOS, like I do, it helps when it comes to reducing androgen-driven symptoms like acne, like hair loss, like unwanted facial hair. So zinc is like a really crucial supplement for those who have PCOS.
Love that. By the way, we're going to do a deep dive episode on PCOS, and that's when we will bring a guest on, but it's so, so common. So PCOS girlies out there, we see you, we love you, we're coming for you. Do you want to know another fun fact about zinc, speaking of Courtney?
Yes, I do.
For those who take zinc regularly, it prolongs the effects of your Botox.
Oh.
Yep. So if women are out there and they are realizing that like, oh, I used to be able to go like 3, 4, 5 months between injections and now it's 2 or 3 or less, try to integrate zinc into your routine and see if that changes how long your Botox is working because it helps prolong the effects of the injections.
Wild. I didn't know that.
We're here for the inside of the body, you guys, and we're also here for the outside of the body.
Love that.
On another note, though, we, again, love B vitamins. I think, honestly, we'll get to this, but, like, there's a handful of vitamins that, like, you should just try, just a few that are good across the board, and B vitamins are one of them as well, in addition to the magnesium. B6 supports progesterone production, which is really helpful when you're ovulating as well.
Great call. And then lastly, just any antioxidants are really helpful. It helps with inflammation, but it also helps with egg health and cellular support. So that can look like vitamin E, that can look like COQ10. There's a ton of different versions, but this is really helpful when it comes to especially your body producing these eggs and trying to keep them really healthy.
COQ10 is really good for brain fog and brain health too, isn't it? Mm. I have it in my supplement cabinet because that's what I thought it was for. So I'm glad to know that it's good for ovulation as well. Okay. What's up next? Moving into fall.
Hey, this is where we are. We're in fall.
Luteal. It's we're feeling autumnal. We're feeling cozy. We're feeling a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit more sensitive. I myself am always paranoid. I think everyone fucking hates me when I'm in my luteal phase. So that's
I go through I go through a thing where I question every decision I've ever had in my life.
Totally.
And that was me this morning at like 3 in the morning. So We're here. We're in fall.
You hadn't gone to sleep. So that's a really good time to be stressing anxiously.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. I'm always, if I'm beefing with Harry too, luteal, but also never, that does not mean it's an excuse for him to be like, are you getting your period? Because don't you fucking
don't even
dare.
Don't even try. But yes, this is like the phase right before menstrual. So it's also, it's time to start calming down, time to start stabilizing, time to get ready for hibernation. And so there's a handful of supplements that can help with supporting our body as we're getting ready to menstruate. One of which, magnesium. It keeps coming up. But helps when it comes to balancing mood. It also helps with sleep and it helps with cravings. Magnesium has been a game changer for me when it comes to sleep, actually. Like whenever I take it before bed, I can tell with my Oura Ring. It tells me that my sleep score is better.
I live and die by it. I love it. Yeah. I ran out recently and I had like an economy size bottle. So like it is on my list of things to do today to go out and make sure that I'm getting more. Because same thing with sleep. And also, you guys, it keeps you so regular. Like you go to the bathroom immediately in the morning.
Yeah.
Like upon waking up, if you take magnesium. I don't know what brand you use, but Pure, it's a white bottle with a blue blue text on it. When I was seeing a hormonal practitioner a couple of years ago, she was like, this is the grade A standard for magnesium. So just putting it out there. I mean, like, and again, guys, we're not doctors. Take this as just advice from your friends you're hanging out with. But that's what someone told me. So I'm telling you.
Okay, good to know. Maybe I'll try that one. I'm pretty biased to the brand Thorne.
I was just going to say, I have so Thorne. And you guys, that's another really reputable brand. Thorne, it's Thorne. Also a white bottle, and they usually have like a colorful label on the front. Thorne is really reputable, but Pure is also really reputable. Okay, and another one that keeps coming up, vitamin B6. So magnesium and B6 are great to have in your rotation no matter what, but this helps reduce with PMS symptoms.
Yep, great call. And another thing that helps with PMS symptoms, calcium. So we know about it for bone health and bone strength, but it also really helps with mood and it helps with also stabilizing any irritability, which
Harry's gonna be like,
needs.
Take some.
So
down the hatch, babe. And I'm gonna be like this.
Ready to go.
Watch it. By the way, Harry's mom listens to this podcast, which I love. Hey, Kathy, shout out. Love ya.
Hey, Kathy.
And I didn't realize she was listening consistently. And last week he was in Panama and she texted me and she was like, how's it going with Harry in Panama? I know you like being alone when he's gone, LOL. Because we had done that whole episode about how it's like when they're gone, you're like, awesome.
I can love face masks. Starfish in the bed.
I was like, oh, A, you're listening. B, I hope you know I still really love your son, but I also really love him when he's gone. Only That's every so often, okay? I'm an alone time girly.
I get that. Same.
Come on.
We need our alone time sometimes. That's real.
Yeah.
That's real.
But,
oh, that's so funny.
I know. Hi, Kath. But another really great supplement for the luteal phase is ashwagandha. We mentioned this earlier. Ashwagandha is an adaptogen, and this really helps with stress and cortisol production. If you're stressed in general, I think ashwagandha is a nice one to take. Like, it is just a very natural remedy to calm yourself down. I mean, it's not like a Xanax or something like that, but it is something to just, we talk about nervous system regulation, integrating an adaptogen like this, I think is a nice kind of foray into just like taking care of your body and your health and your mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. I was introduced to ashwagandha, and I'm actually drawing a blank on exactly who brought this up to me, but it was someone who would have to take 2 Xanax every time they flew. And they were like, once I started taking ashwagandha, I didn't have to take Xanax at all.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, yeah. And so when I was going through a really stressful time at work is when I started to take ashwagandha, and it was a game changer.
Dude,
it's awesome.
Same. That's when I started taking it too. I found myself in the supplement aisle at Sprouts and it was like for stress support. And I was like,
You said over here.
I was like, they take this one. I was like, it's Q4, it's award season. My TMJ is acting up. I have an ulcer and I need this.
Yeah, totally. That's so real.
This is another like adaptogen adjacent supplement, chasteberry. I noticed that I started taking a supplement for lymphatic drainage support lately as well, just to, like help my body detox. And I noticed this was one of the ingredients in it along with elderberry, but apparently it helps with progesterone support if you need that at this time, because this is when progesterone is rising, which is one of the causation factors for PMS or the PMS symptoms that we experience. I have haven't ever taken this, but if anyone else out here has or has experience with it, please let us know, because this isn't one that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, no, same. Would love to hear from the pod fans. Drop us a comment. Leave us a note. We dare you. And then, these are all great specifically for luteal phase. I mean, they work across all different phases too, but they really help when it comes to cravings and specifically blood sugar imbalance, but then also just anxiety and stress. I know I always feel a lot more anxious and typically have a lot of stress when I'm in my luteal phase. I can just feel it. I can feel more overwhelmed. And so all these supplements can help with that, and specifically helping with your nervous system to help your body physically feel a little bit more at ease.
I agree. One thing that I was thinking about as we were building this and as I'm trying to get back on my supplement game and have it be more specifically incorporated into my cycle is like, okay, do I only take these during this phase or whatever it is? Or do I take all of these all month long? And I think the answer to that is like, there are a lot of these that support your cycle consistently, not just in one phase. But then there are other ones that you can layer on during that phase, like we talked about. Like, for instance, taking vitamin C during your menstrual phase to help support immunity when you're not feeling down. However, as we keep coming back to, there are a few that I think it's like, it's really healthy to just layer into your routine all the time, day to day. Magnesium, the B complex vitamins that we talked about, the omega-3s and the probiotics. That's a great like small stack to start that will help every phase of your cycle.
Yeah, it's a big question. How do I start? Like, we mentioned so many different things. And so I love that, Robin. Like, those are four like really easy things just to start to introduce. And then I think in general too, what we've been talking a lot about is tracking symptoms allows us to know what to prioritize. So it goes back to this idea of, again, like the more you can track, okay, what's happening in your body. If you're having cramps, if you're having brain fog, if you're feeling a lot of energy depletion, that might direct you towards exactly which supplements to take. So just want to like circle back to that idea of by being aware of what's happening in your body, that can also help you decide like, okay, like for me, again, I was feeling so tired during my menstrual phase. So it was like, I'm just going to focus on iron for now, because that's going to have a really big impact in my life.
But, and then we'd be remiss not to mention things that like we don't recommend doing. So there's three things that I think like here, we listed a lot of things that you can do. Here's some things that you probably shouldn't do, which is completely rotating 10 to 15 supplements in and out of each phase, or even like 5 to 10, like let's not go crazy. Another is only taking something for 3 to 4 days and then expecting results. As I mentioned, I've done that, it doesn't work. So like consistency is key with supplementation, and it takes weeks, not days, to see results from it. And also knowing that we're doing this to attune to and optimize our cycle, it might take a few cycles for you to understand what is helping you in each specific phase. So I'd say be patient and keep this as part of your routine, as part of the long game, not a quick fix. And then also, we talk about this all the time. It's the same with New Year's resolutions. If you start integrating 15 new things into your daily routine and make it so complex and complicated that it's hard to maintain, you'll quit after 2 weeks, because that's a lot. I've done that as well with supplements. Yep. So like, keep it as simple as possible and keep it something that is maintainable for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a great call out. It's like back to that 5% rule, that sense of like, what's like the small thing that you'll feel a really big impact with? And that's a nice way to start diving into it. And I think too, one of the things that I think is so exciting about this conversation in general is that it allows us to talk about, okay, what's happening within our body? What nutrients do we need to replenish during certain parts of our phases? And so another thing too, that I think is really helpful in general is like just being aware of, okay, I need more omega-3s during this phase. That's also an opportunity to either take supplements or to introduce food that have more omega-3s during that phase. So there's just something nice I would say about like, even instead of getting like so focused on just supplements, if we take a step out and think about, okay, what are these supplements doing holistically? What do these nutrients actually mean? And where do they come from? That to me is also a way to have it feeling really sustainable, because we're not focused on just a pill, but it's really focusing on like the holistic approach to making sure we're supporting our body as much as we can.
Amen, sister. So we have talked about like examples of where you can add and what you can do in each phase. Just again, on like on watchouts, we're not doctors. So
not doctors.
Not all supplements are created for are for everyone. If you have specific medications that you are taking, or you have specific nuances with your body where B6 doesn't work for you, or iron gives you a weird stomach reaction, like every supplement is absolutely not for everybody.
Yes, yes. It's a great, great flag. It's definitely something to talk with your doctor about to see what makes the most sense for you. Because yeah, everyone's body is different. Also, specifically hormonal conditions may need personalization when it comes to what your supplements look like. So like, for instance, for PCOS specifically, inositol is a supplement that is very common that we take a lot. Myo-inositol, D-chiro, those are two that we didn't talk about, but are very common if you have PCOS, as well as NAC, another one that's really helpful when it comes to supporting ovulation and fertility. So again, we'll dive more into PCOS on a different episode, but depending on what's happening with your hormones, there may be specific supplements that are best to help you with whatever your body needs.
Love that. And then again, contact your practitioner, if you will, who actually is a doctor. If you're experiencing one, contact a practitioner to discuss this and think about like how they can be specific to you. They know your body, they know your health history, et cetera. But if you're experiencing any weird symptoms, definitely call a doctor. Or if you're layering a lot of supplements on top of medication, that's also really important. And then again, my number one piece of advice is do not take these suckers on an empty stomach, because yes, you will be woefully surprised and disappointed.
Yes, yes, 100%. And I think too, like you mentioned earlier, not all supplements are created equal. So making sure that they are tested by third-party testing. Honestly, to me, AI is what has been an incredible tool to decide which brands of supplements to get. You can ask AI to say like, hey, I want to get vitamin C. Can you list out all the top brands, list out what they've been tested for, list out what their reputation is, and it can literally give you recommendations based on your price point and based off of what it is that you're looking for.
Perfect. So in closing, just a couple of takeaways here, obviously. First and foremost being, don't take these on an empty stomach. But for real, small and consistent changes that you are able to maintain, so not 15 new things a day that it's going to fall off, but like the small and consistent changes equal big shifts over time, and give yourself time to see the difference and to feel the difference. Maybe keep a journal or keep it in one of your apps about like how you're feeling differently after integrating iron into your luteal phase or after integrating vitamin C into your menstrual phase. But again, give yourself time to see the difference. This is a long game. It's not a quick fix.
Yeah, it's a great flag. Also, by taking too many at once, it can be hard to then know, okay, what is actually having the strongest impact on my body? So just plus one-ing that small, consistent changes, it helps with the big shifts. And it also helps us really understand like, okay, what's actually driving positive change within my body? And then another takeaway too is just the reminder that supplements are tools. They're not magic. They're not a quick fix. They're not going to fix everything. Supplements are supportive, but they're not replacements for when it comes to the nutrition that our body needs, especially when it comes to the different phases of our menstrual cycle. So as we talk about a lot, one of the best things about cycle syncing is just the awareness of what our body needs during different phases and what specific nutrition is going to impact us and help us when it comes to whatever the heck our hormones decide to do. And so supplements are a really helpful way to support that, but really holistically looking at what we're eating, how we're working out, what it is that we're doing with our time is really a strong way to make sure that we're doing the best that we can to support these magical bodies that we have.
These magical, sweet little bodies. And I think also, again, it wouldn't be an in-phase episode if we didn't talk about how this helps you give grace to your body. I hope this is educational for people who may have been like pondering this or thinking about supplementation or wondering if they need it or should dip into it. Because if you're experiencing something that you're trying to fix or trying to right size or trying to optimize, this is just one more reminder that like your body isn't broken and you are not broken. It might just be under-supported. So like, take these as opportunities and options for you to support your body a little bit more.
I love that. And on that note,
you guys,
thanks for hanging with us.
Thanks for hanging with us. Thank you for listening to us. As always, please like, please comment, please subscribe. You can find In Phase on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and you can watch it on YouTube. And as always, subscribing and liking and sharing this episode goes such a long way. If you're feeling so inclined, a 5-star review wouldn't hurt our feelings whatsoever.
We would love, in fact.
We would love. Actually, on that note, to go out on, I texted Lauren earlier this week and I was like, did you see that comment on our episode? It was from a stranger, not even from a friend of ours. And it said, these girls are so fun to listen to. They make learning about endo fun. And I said, a stranger. I didn't even ask my mom to post that. That's amazing. So if you want to leave a nice comment for us, we love you. Yeah. I think her name was Penelope. Shout out Penelope.
Big fan.
But I am Robin Dibovic. As a reminder, you can find me on social at Robin Dibovic.
And I'm Lauren Cortizo. I'm at Lauren Cortizo. If you have any questions or topics that you want us to cover, always feel free to DM us at InFacePod. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Have a good one.